If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, it's found on page 961. Matthew chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 13. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Continuation of my message from last week. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Over 20 years ago already, Jeffrey Dahmer was convicted of murdering at least 16 people. Some of his victims, he reportedly even ate. As far as serial killers go, I don't think you get much more evil than this guy. Think of all the lives and the families that had their loved ones taken from them, had their lives altered by Jeffrey Dahmer. He was awarded 16 life sentences for those murders. But while in prison, Jeffrey Dahmer met Pastor Roy Ratcliffe, minister with the Church of Christ in Madison, Wisconsin. And after months of witnessing to him, Dahmer eventually gave his life to the Lord. And Pastor Roy even had the opportunity to baptize him. Now, we may be skeptical of jailhouse conversions, and there are times when there's no depth to it, like the seed that was planted on the hard soil or the soil that was full of weeds, but apparently, a lot of people noticed that Dahmer gave his life to the Lord, including the guards, his father, apparently, who had been a pen pal of his, renewed his walk with the Lord and began to attend church again. He hadn't for a very long time. Also, through Dahmer's witness, his younger brother came to know the Lord, as well as a number of his fellow inmates. Even James Dobson had an opportunity to interview Dahmer, and he too could testify to seeing a real change in this man, because apparently he had talked to him before this. Dahmer was killed in prison by a fellow inmate soon after this, and while this was a tragedy, yet at the same time, for those who attended this funeral, his funeral, it was a celebration because Dahmer had come to know the Lord, had had his sins forgiven, and he knew where he was going to spend eternity. But Pastor Roy, who led Dahmer to the Lord and who baptized him, he ended up receiving a lot of criticism and even hate mail from people whose lives had been touched by Dahmer. They felt this pastor should never have led him to the Lord and should have never have baptized him. They took offense to thinking that Dahmer would one day be up in heaven when they got there. Did Dahmer deserve to be washed clean in the blood of Jesus? Did he deserve a place at the table of our Lord in heaven? I think the answer is obvious. No, he sure didn't. Just as none of us deserve our place in heaven. But it truly is a gift of grace and love from our Father in heaven. Baptism can be a very moving experience. To see the water of baptism upon a young child's head, a little bit of bitty baby, or an adult who is giving their life to the Lord, what a beautiful picture, again, of God's grace and love. But I think a question that people will often ask about baptism, especially baptism of children, is, does it make a difference? Does it accomplish anything? Or is it just something that we have to go through as Christians because the Bible told us to? As I mentioned last week, our passage reveals to us that the Lord's baptism, it's not just by accident, but this was well planned out by the Lord. Verse 13 tells us that Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River. Now, we read those words so easily, and it doesn't mean much to us, but this would have been a 75-mile journey for Jesus, probably walking 15 miles a day. So he was there at that appointed hour for a reason. God had set this up. This wasn't just mere chance. I think that all the Gospels mention Jesus' baptism, again, tells us how important this is, that the entire Godhead was present at Jesus' baptism, again, alerts us that this was an important event. We've been looking at what it means that Jesus' baptism, that it fulfilled all righteousness. You might remember that from last week. Last time we talked about how first Jesus, his baptism, officially signaled the beginning of his earthly ministry. Officially told the people that this was the beginning of his ministry. And we know that that was his journey to the cross. Second, we talked about how Jesus identified himself with our sins and took responsibility for them, even though he himself was sinless. He became our kinsman redeemer. And in doing this, we become like Jesus because he became like us, but without the sin. But in addition to this, to Jesus taking responsibility for our sin, by entering the water that day, it also signaled something else. And we don't always catch that right at first. And that's that Jesus is our high priest. And that's my third point. In Leviticus 8, Moses instructs Aaron and his sons to be washed with water. And after they were washed with water, he anoints them with oil, and only then could they work on behalf of the people. Could they be the mediator that the priests were called to be and offer sacrifices? Leviticus 16, the law also instructs that the high priest on the Day of Atonement was to wash with water before making atonement on behalf of the people. And while this cleansing is similar to what John was doing, baptism took on new meaning after Jesus died and rose again. But here, John's baptism signified the washing away of our sins. And that's what Jesus did that day, even though he himself didn't need his sins forgiven. But again, because he was the second Adam, through Jesus Christ, our sins were completely taken away. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. Though his baptism by becoming our high priest, and the other things that we've already mentioned. And that's what Hebrews 4:14 reminds us of. We have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And then the next chapter, Hebrews 5, verse 4, says, no one takes this honor upon himself, in other words, being a high priest, but this is something that's granted to them by God, just as God called Aaron to serve him in this way. And so Jesus is our high priest. He offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice. He offered his very life. Remember in Genesis 22, 7 through 8, when Abram was going to sacrifice his son, you might remember what his son said. The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offerings? Do you remember what Abraham said? God will provide the lamb. God will provide the lamb. And while he did provide a ram that day, ultimately the lamb that he was looking forward to was Jesus. And that's why John now proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Paul in Romans 6 says that in the waters of baptism we join with Jesus in his death and burial as well as in his resurrection. In baptism you identify yourself so closely with Jesus and cast your lot so completely with him that your life becomes united with his in his death but also in his life. And we share in his victory. And so his righteousness now belongs to each of us who ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Like Paul, we can say confidently that we have been crucified with Christ, and the life that we now live is not our own, but it belongs to Jesus. Our church and many other churches like ours baptize children and infants. And this really is a beautiful picture of God's grace and love, his unconditional love for his people. It's not as if adult baptism means less, but I think a helpless infant being baptized speaks even louder than an adult coming to the Lord and making his profession, which, again, is truly wonderful. But especially at an infant's baptism, we see God's grace like none other. What has that baby done to deserve that baptism? The answer is nothing. It's a gift from God. It's grace, pure grace, that we can never pay back. And it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us in fulfilling all righteousness. Baptism is God's action, God's activity. Baptism is an unmerited gift of grace. It's not something that we can earn or deserve it in any way. We don't deserve a place in heaven, but God gives it to us graciously, lovingly, freely for those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus. But unfortunately, I think many parents, while this baptism is a beautiful and wonderful gift, they forget that they also have a role in this. It's not enough that we just baptize our children, but parents, you have to actively be discipling your children and pointing their eyes to heaven, toward Jesus. I think we forget that sometimes. For our children, we need to teach them what their baptismal identity, what it requires of them. That's something that they have to grow into. Again, this is a gift of grace. But how do you respond to that grace, that baptism? And that's by walking in obedience. It's by living for the Lord. You know, a lot of people will have their children baptized as a sort of holy fire insurance. They don't worry about what faith instruction follows, but they think since they covered baptism that everything's good. I've already had parents who rarely attend church come to me and say that they want their children baptized. And what they fail to understand is baptism, it's not magic. It's not magic water that's in that bowl. But it's a sign. It's God claiming that child and placing his hand on them, and the parents promising to raise up that child to know the Lord and serve him, and for that child to receive the gift or the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives, who will begin that great work of sanctification so that they become more and more like Jesus. Baptism is not an ending point, but it's a beginning point. As the Holy Spirit changes us, it's then that we can go out and serve. Walking in obedience, but serving the Lord and being His hands and feet, being His voice. And hopefully through that sacrament of grace, it will prepare them to one day long and thirst for another sacrament of grace, which is the Lord's Supper. And then after that, hopefully they'll be ready to one day profess their faith to God and before His people, saying, "I want to live for Jesus." It's our prayer for all our young people that they come to that point, that they make that step of faith and are willing to put the Lord first in their lives. But we just need to keep in mind that our baptismal identity, it's not congratulations on a job well done. It's not about us. It's not about our earning the right. But again, it's a gift of grace. Pure grace. Because even after your baptism, even after your profession of faith, you'll continue to struggle with sin. And there'll be times when you're not going to live out your identity in Christ very well. It's going to be hard to see the image of Christ in you, but you know what? God doesn't give up on you. Jesus is faithful. He loves you with an everlasting love, and the Bible says that He will be with us to the very end of the age. What an incredible promise to claim. And just as Jesus served by being a prophet, priest, and king, so that's the ministry we've been called to. And we're initiated into that through our baptism as the Holy Spirit begins to work. Just as the Holy Spirit was working in Jesus and prepared Him to eventually go to the cross. That's what we want to train our children to do, but we ourselves, that's what we want to model. We've been baptized for a reason. The Lord called you for a reason, not just to go to church on Sunday, which is wonderful. We need that encouragement, but it's then to go out and serve. Each and every day, your mission field is where the Lord has placed you. That's your crossroads. And so who is the Lord asking you to influence? And you might say, well, I don't get out much, but do you go to the grocery store? Do you go to the bank? Who does God want you to encourage, to show the love of Jesus to? Maybe it's to a neighbor. Maybe it's to one of your relatives. But wherever the Lord has placed you, we need to be faithful. That's our calling in Christ. What a privilege that is. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that once we become Christians, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us beforehand. God has a plan for each of you, a purpose. And the question is, are we ready to live out that purpose, to truly glorify God with our lives? You know, while our future seems filled with a lot of unknowns right now, a lot of challenges, sometimes we turn on the news and it just seems so dark and our world seems so evil, but you know what? You don't have to be afraid, because Jesus is victorious. Jesus is the King. Even of what's going on in our world today, He's still the King. He's still in control. And we should go out into the world and be the influencer of Christ, the flavor of Christ, wherever He's placed us. We can do that because we have confidence in who we are in Christ. And because Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, we're assured of our place in heaven. We're assured that we are children of God if we have Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. But And then we're called to, with that same spirit, to go out into the world and do what we could never do on our own. To be bold for the Lord. To go outside your comfort zone and not worry about if you might make a mistake or you might not do the right thing. You don't have to worry about that because God will give you everything that you need. You just got to be faithful. We just got to offer ourselves to the Lord. But we need to live out our faith. We serve the risen Savior who's fulfilled all righteousness. I hope that fills you with a joy. I hope that fills you with a gratitude where you want to serve the Lord and show Him your thanks each and every day. But until the day of His return, may the Lord find us faithful, serving Him with thankful, joyful hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, this calling, we could never do it on our own. Fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to do, Lord, what's not possible in and of ourselves. And we just pray, Lord, that others will see Jesus in us. Holy Spirit, fill us with power from on high. We pray that others will know we are Christians by our love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?